We're going to move into our second presentation by Ms. Fontenot. She is the director of the Texas Lawyers Assistance Program, also known as TLAP. Her presentation is on wellness in the practice of law, or what every lawyer should know. And she's going to talk about tips on managing stress and anxiety. And you know, there's that old saying, if you're not losing cases, you're not trying cases. Well, I think if you're not stressed or anxious at times, then you're probably not practicing law. And so I think this is a wonderful presentation that we're going to hear. Ms. Fontenot got a master's degree at UT. She also has a JD from Seattle School of Law. You know, I can attest, being married to a marriage therapist, that therapists and attorneys come around, approach issues a lot differently and problems a lot differently. So I think somebody like her has a very, very unique perspective that she's not only an attorney but a therapist in how you manage and tackle issues like stress and anxiety. So we're really happy that TLAP and the State Bar was helping us with this. And with that, let's turn it over to Ms. Fontenot.
Thanks so much for having me, and having me first thing in the morning, or, you know, oftentimes we get the lunch or the end of the day slot, so this is very, very special. These are some of the major problems attorneys experience, in addition to caseloads, finances, all those things that happen with the practice of law. But statistically, raise your hand if you've experienced stress and anxiety. Depression, you don't have to raise your hand. I lived in Seattle for 26 years. Seasonal affective disorder just goes with the territory. Burnout. Anybody felt burned out and wanted to quit the practice of law? And secondary trauma. Do you know what I'm talking about by secondary trauma? So secondary trauma is the impact on an attorney from hearing the story of a client. So as an attorney, you might have a case. Let's say you look at car wreck pictures. Criminal acts, you know, you watch the video, repeated. So I practiced primarily family law and special education. So I know some people here practice special education. So the impact of what teachers may do to children, you know, those kinds of things. So hearing the story as a lawyer, what we're doing is looking for evidence. I know for me, when I practiced family law and that, you know, the amount of social media that exists today, I would have to go through tons and tons of text messages, Facebook posts to try and find that one piece of evidence, right? The good piece that I was going to use in the court hearing. Imagine you do the same thing. But the impact of looking at all that hateful material impacts us as an attorney, regardless of whether we call it evidence or not. So secondary trauma is that impact on you. It's not your own trauma, but you're holding the trauma of your clients. And the DSM, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, it's how people diagnose mental health disorders, created that as a part of post-traumatic stress disorder in 2013. So we're 10 years in to legitimizing secondary trauma. Attorneys struggle with alcohol and other substance use disorders. Sometimes with long COVID or as we age, cognitive impairment. Did you know that suicide is the third leading cause of death amongst attorneys? So behind cancer and heart disease. So that's something that we take seriously and want to watch out for. And then other addictions. So I'm here to say that your own well-being is part of your ethical duty of competence. So making healthy work-life choices, you know, helps you as a lawyer. It makes you a better lawyer. It makes you a better lawyer with your clients. So maintaining your own long-term well-being, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. So this is a 2015 study. It's kind of the penultimate study, and I felt like it was getting kind of old. But this study was almost 13,000 attorneys. It was done by Betty Hazelden and the ABA, and it was attorneys admitting to not being perfect, right?